Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, I am back again, and I'm having to fly solo, I guess. Things have been a little awkward trying to get hooked up things with... I was going to have Last Boy Philip join me tonight here, and maybe he'll buzz in. I don't know what happened to him. He disappeared. He was supposed to meet me on Skype. I don't know what's going on, because we have some tributes to at least a couple of wrestlers, and who better to help me pay tribute than a bigger wrestling fan than me? Philip would have been great, but that's what today's episode is going to be. We had a couple of wrestlers that passed away, and also a comedian that passed away this past week, and we're going to pay a little bit of tribute to them. Also, we're going to have a little bit of fun, of course, along the way. I'm a little caught off guard this week. I had plans for what this episode was going to be, and those plans fell through. I made plans for what this show is going to be now, and that appears to be falling through as well. But I was committed to bringing this show this week, so I'm going to bring you the best show that I can, even if I have to do it all by myself. Okay? So, the music's still going, and I have nothing more really to add to this. So I'm just going to fade that out. There we go. Isn't that wonderful? But I do want to let you all know, if you happen to be in the Kansas City area and you're planning to attend Planet Comic-Con, this Sunday I will be there hosting a panel at 1 p.m. where I have Dan Vietz from the thankyouwaltdisney.org. They are the ones that own the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, and they're going to make something fantastic out of it. And I'm going to be sitting with him on Sunday in a panel that you can attend. And you can hear my conversation with Dan Vietz right there. You can see us live. I will be there for the entirety of the weekend. I will be going in with a press pass from Diz Radio because I do a segment on Diz Radio. Diz Radio is a bigger show than I am, probably because he does some celebrity interviews, and that'll get you a lot more attention than my normal show of just me. But I've got a press pass from him, so I plan to go and try to get some content for Diz Radio. Probably share some of it here. I also plan to sit down with pop culture pastors and record something with them, and also with Katie Lee. And so you'll be hearing that in the upcoming weeks. You'll be hearing some of the fun that I do and who I get to talk to, and hopefully an entire episode with me and the pop culture pastors. I have not made a full plan of what we're going to talk about, but I was like, hey, you know, we should just sit down and, you know, because they've got a booth. I was like, we should just sit down and just record something. So I need to coordinate with him a little bit before the week's out, but I've just been kind of busy this week because I've been working and trying to get a podcast together. I feel like last minute. And then, so what have you been watching as we do in Hulls Chatter? Nothing, because I've been too busy playing, because on February 29th, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth launched itself into the world. And when I've actually had a free moment, I've sat and played it. And Saturday, since I didn't get a chance to do the podcast I was planning to record on Saturday, I just spent the day playing this game, and it is massive. I only got really through like the first major area of the game, of this open world. They've divided this open world into various lands of each area, the first one being the grassland, and I really just spent the weekend working my way through everything there is to do in the grassland, and it was a lot. So Sunday I managed to move my way into Juno, and I've been kind of trying to find time to play around in the Juno area. This game is massive. I'm having a lot of fun actually doing all the fun activities and exploring the area. They've packed so much into the game. And of course, I love these characters. They've packed all the personality they can in there with some extra story to really flesh out some of the things that were going on. For those of us that, you know, familiar with the 1997 original Final Fantasy VII game, you know, they with the remake, they really expanded upon that story and then added some twists. But one thing that's kind of got up my craw this past week, and let me just relate this back to in the 90s. Y'all probably remember, even if you bought the soundtrack for Star Wars The Phantom Menace and you looked on the back and there was a big oops of a spoiler back there. For some reason in games, now that we've gotten to a point where games have a lot more story than they used to when I was a little kid, I mean, you didn't really get much story in video games. You know, it was just cross this area from whatever, you know. And it was around about the time of like Super Mario Brothers that you had more of a level that you would, you know, platform your way through compared to getting through a screen like in Donkey Kong or Pac-Man or something like that. You know, it was a worse. I mean, there were some other games that went through. I mean, there was, I think, Jungle Hunt. And also you had some shooters that you'd kind of go up a screen. But you know, I don't know. But for the platforming that we got used to, that was Super Mario Brothers is like the earliest one, at least that I can think of off the top of my head. It, you know, I think it was like the beginning of that genre. But we, you know, it was light on story. There was just a little bit of story to it. But as we've gone further in time, story became a lot heavier. And now these are like almost movies that you get to live and they can go on for, you know, 40, 80 hours, depending upon what you're playing. If you're playing an RPG, you know, they can go on for quite some time. You can be playing it for a very long time, especially to try to experience everything that the game developers have provided for you. It's really a lot. Pardon me while I sip my cocoa. Yes, I got to keep that throat warm. But it seems like a lot of gaming magazines in the 90s didn't quite catch up that you're full of story now. And the last thing you want when you have a story that you're looking forward to experiencing is for someone to spoil something that's going to happen in the story. Well, when I was first playing Final Fantasy VII in 1997, there was a massive spoiler that was dropped in a gaming magazine, and it made me stop playing. Granted, I don't like random encounters, but I've gotten more accustomed to it. I've gotten older. I've gotten more patience, I think, than I had when I was younger. I mean, because in 1997, I would have been just turning 20, you know, and I didn't have the patience to deal with random encounters and just sit through a menu trying to, you know, get through a battle by making choices. Now I've gotten a bit more, you know, there's people who've always loved that kind of thing. It took me a while to grow into it. And I have actually enjoyed it by playing. I've played through the original game now that it's, you know, re-released for PlayStation. And I think even Nintendo Switch, you know, other systems you can download it on. And I've played through it a couple of times. And the second time I've played through it, I was trying to go and do some things that I had never done before, like chocobo breeding and all that, getting the Knights of the Round Table materia, that kind of thing. So I tried to go and unlock all kinds of extra stuff and get a lot of achievements that were available for PlayStation. But, you know, that really hurt for me. You know, I was like, oh, man. And what I found out, I didn't like. And so I didn't go any further. And eventually that game was just kind of sitting there. And eventually I just sold it. I kind of wish I still had the disc. I bet that thing's valuable to still have, you know, if I would have kept it. But I mean, that was the original game was one of the early where it was super cinematic, sort of like Metal Gear Solid, where it was like an event game where, like, you know, they really pushed the limits of like story and what they could do cinematically. I mean, I think some of the best story of the early PlayStation, I mean, Resident Evil was some good storytelling, but it wasn't near as cinematic as like Final Fantasy VII was. But Resident Evil, of course, was still a phenomenal game. But so now we've gotten a remake where they're reimagining. And one thing that they leaned on with a remake is the characters being able to change their fate, maybe alter a little bit away from what the set story had been in the original. And some people didn't like that. Most of us were okay with that. Most of us really enjoyed the remake game. And we really looked forward and waited in anticipation the about 2 to 3 years, whatever, however long it's been now, for this new game to come out. Now, the day before this game came out, and I, you know, people probably got early digital copies or whatever from, you know, some pre-orders. But I think a lot of it is because they were managed to work something with Square Enix where you can get an early review copy like a magazine was. You know, if you've got enough clout, you can manage to pull that off. The day before release, people were already live streaming playing through the entire game. It's like, are you kidding me? And people were, you know, were watching. Probably people who didn't pre-order the game, or they just couldn't wait, I guess. I don't know. But at least they didn't say anything that was happening. They were just saying, hey, here's me playing through the game. okay, well, I mean, it's early for you to do that, but, you know, it didn't spoil anything. It just said, oh, here's you playing through the game. I move on. The day the game released, however, I picked up my copy. I got a hat for my troubles, and I got it installed, and I got to play for a little bit. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'll go up on YouTube in the middle of the night and maybe watch some stuff and try to get myself to go back to sleep. I'm kind of an insomniac. I sleep a few hours, then I wake up, then I'm awake for a few hours, and I get back to sleep, hopefully by morning, and then wake up in time in the morning. I just don't sleep through the night. Someone, though, titled their video something that spoiled a major event. I mean, this is the equivalent of somebody back in 1980 walking outside of the Empire Strikes Back and announcing to everybody that Darth Vader was Luke's father. And it's something that people in that line had anticipated that sequel and enjoying it for 3 years, and then somebody would come out and ruin it like that. That's what this was. Because it was something the developers have left open. They said, the developers even said, well, this is up to you how this works out. But somebody dropped the bomb of all spoilers onto a YouTube video, even having, you know, their video picturing and saying exactly, let's compare the scene in 1997 to the scene from the Rebirth. Now, some of us, most of us, I'd say, have a job and we have to work and we don't, can't just sit around and play a game all day. And so we haven't gotten to that point to be able to complete the game. Why in the world would this fool do this? So it upset me quite a bit. I was like, well, you know, is that going to ruin my experience of playing the game? Well, I decided I was not going to let it, but it made me investigate. Like, well, they said that you can change the fate of the characters, and it's even on the back of the package where, you know, they're fighting their fate and they're trying to redefine what their fate is. So having something dropped like that really kind of it pooped on the whole concept of what's going on here. And I'm not going to say anymore. I've been really kind of dodging saying anymore because I don't want to spoil it for you. I want you to be able to come and experience it because I am still having fun playing the game. Even though because I was curious on this, I have looked into stuff to see, well, okay, what sort of choices can I make that will affect the outcome of things in the game? I was thinking, you know, the Mass Effect trilogy, where choices you make, especially in the second one, will determine characters who will live or die and be around in the third game. And, you know, but every choice you made, it looked up your save file and it would continue in Mass Effect. And it was amazing. I thought, well, I wonder if it's going to be something like that, that I can affect the fate of all the characters by they really leaned on this relationship thing where you have side missions and conversations that you make friends with your companions, even though you were probably, you know, I would say they should have been friends at the end of the first game. But I would want to know how that's going to affect the outcome of the game. And I don't know that it really has an effect on the outcome of the game other than little bits of story perhaps along the way. But it doesn't appear to have an effect on where the game's going to end. So that was kind of. And I hope I didn't just ruin that for you. I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything. But it's still kind of a fun game mechanic, and I'm still going to enjoy that, building his relationships, Cloud's relationships with his friends there, and determine what relationships he's going to have. Even though I guess by the time we get to the next game, it's going to be set in stone. One of the other things I found very odd is, you know, heck, I've played enough of the remake to where I make sure I leveled everybody up to 50. I've maxed everybody's weapons. I got so much materia and a lot of gil. And of course, it's kind of odd to start this new game and I'm back to the original weapon that I started with the beginning of Remake. Hardly any materia, flat broke, you know, no gil or money. It's really weird. It's like starting back to square one. It's like, well, what happened to all the stuff we had out of Midgar? It would have been nice to have something kind of like what Metroid or Castlevania might have done, where like, oh, we're going to strip you of everything. This suddenly happened, and you've lost all the stuff you had in the last game, and now you got to build it all up again. Would have been nice to have some sort of moment or an explanation for that, but we didn't get one. But that's okay, you know, it gives me opportunity to rebuild the character, and I'm still, like I said, I'm having fun, and it's definitely worth it. So I've been definitely, and the music, it was definitely worth getting a collector's edition to get the mini soundtrack. Although I'm waiting to get a full soundtrack at some point. I don't know that I'll be able to pay as much money as what Square Enix will sell it for to import it from Japan. But last time I bought one off of iTunes and got it digitally, saved myself a little bit of money and enjoyed the music of this immensely. Okay, well, if Philip was here, I was going to ask him about the WWE 2K24. He has spent the day, that released today, he has spent the day creating characters and has shown me some pictures of he's created himself. And so I don't know if he's played any matches and can tell us any more about the game, but he's created himself. So, and I would say he's probably having a grand time because that's really what he loves doing with that. So with that said, let's just dive right into some news.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, and since I had a plan of what the show was going to have been, and I wasn't planning to have any news because I, you know, just the way things fell apart. The only news I'm really going to share with you is the wrestler Sting has retired. And I'm sure if you're a wrestling fan, you already knew this had happened. He'd been a major star since like 1985 and finally went ahead and stepped down after like nearly 40 years. Went through a lot of different incarnations. Actually, I think he used to work out with Hulk Hogan, if I'm remembering correctly. Had a very long career. I don't know that he ever wrestled as a heel, but he has went through a lot of different looks with like the short kind of bleached short hair and always had some sort of face paint, turned himself into the Crow basically on WCW. When the NWO took over, he was going to oppose them. And then for a while, even over at the TNA wrestling or Impact wrestling that they became later, he kind of imbibed the Joker a little bit. So he clearly he's some sort of comic book fan, Steve Borden, but he's a good man. He's even released sort of a semi biographical documentary. I think it was straight to DVD. It might have went to theater at some point, where he tells of, you know, his drug problems and all the problems he had had before he came to Christ and has turned his life around since then. But he had a really interesting match because normally a retirement match where you're going to retire that you're supposed to lose your match. Apparently that's a tradition. And apparently he got to win his, it was a tag team match and because they're keeping the title with his partner. And so Sting though has stepped down. And on YouTube, AEW has released a video of his post show speech where he thanked everybody in, I believe it was Huntsville, Alabama. For all the support that he'd gotten through the years with them and thanked them all. And of course they thanked him back. It was just a nice speech and everything, but it was kind of cool. You know, it's about time he stepped down. I'm surprised he didn't step down after in WWE. He was injured and I thought that was supposed to be a career ender, but he came back, but WWE really dropped the ball for the short time that he came over to WWE. What really I think a lot of people were hoping for was that he would be the one to end the Undertaker streak. They needed somebody who had some legacy to do it. And instead they chose Brock Lesnar to end Undertaker streak. And a lot of people were not happy with that, myself included. But the only match that Sting got to have was with Triple H, and they had Triple H beat him. And it's like, really? That was a disappointment for a lot of us. And a lot of people are still upset WWE didn't treat him very well. So, but that's all I have really for news, you know, because I didn't go and gather anything. So let's just go to the trailer park because I do have a few fun things over there.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Wait here, Junior. I'll be right back.
You hungry, little guy?
One familia style lasagna to go.
I'm gonna name you Garfield.
Let's get it.
Good morning.
You deserve to be seen with somebody as bright as me.
We're gonna need the big scale.
Does she need to announce it to the whole office?
Say when.
Never, John. Bury me in cheese.
Mm-hmm. Life here is pretty near perfect.
Little did I know, it was all about to collapse.
Odie, I'm dreaming again. Slap me across the face.
I think this is a case of mistaken identity. You must be looking for another gorgeous, lovable kitty cat.
Big bag hunter with the bow. She got a big band, drop it.
Come on, Junior.
You.
Huh?
This is Vic, my father.
Welcome back, Victor.
Listen, I need your help.
Get them!
I haven't seen you for years, and when I do, you're on the run from a deranged cat.
We need to toughen you up.
Hey, I know tough, Vic.
You've obviously never been in an Olive Garden that's run out of breadsticks. Follow my lead.
Oh, cheddar. Probably one of my top 26 favorite cheeses.
Mm. My orange tabby and my dog are both missing.
Your call is very important. There are
1,046
people ahead of you.
Drop them now!
We have to go save my dad.
Oh, that cat's a goner.
You think you can battle these villains on your own?
If I don't make it back,
tell my story.
Hey, little mama, yeah, you heard about me.
Part of me wants to help him.
No, this is how he learns.
No, please, no. Ow, it's so hot. Ow, it's really hurting. Ow, ow, ow.
You saw nothing.
Okay, so coming Memorial Day weekend, and a lot of the gags are visual, and they don't really come across, I suppose, with the audio I just shared with you. But it says, Indoor Cat, Outdoor Adventure, Garfield the movie, coming exclusively to theaters on Memorial Day weekend. Garfield, of course, being voiced by Chris Pratt, the world-famous Monday-hating, lasagna-loving indoor cat is about to have a wild outdoor adventure after an unexpected reunion with his long-lost father, scruffy street cat Vic, voiced by Samuel L. Jackson. Garfield and his canine friend Odie are forced from their perfectly pampered life into joining Vic in a hilarious high-stakes heist. Directed by Mark Dindal, with a screenplay by Paul A. Kaplan and Mark Torgove and David Reynolds. I would think that Jim Davis would have been kind of involved with writing it, but he is an executive producer. Cast also includes Hannah Waddington, Ving Rhames, Nicholas Holt, Cicely Strong, Harvey Guillen, Brett Goldstein, and Boeing Yang. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm actually looking forward to checking this movie out on Memorial Day weekend. That's like my birthday weekend, so I'm going to get somebody to take me out to the movies. Now, this next one, there's not a lot of dialogue in this, and it's a lot of music, but let's just go for it anyway. This is called Horizon, an American Saga.
You and I are standing guard on one of the last great open spaces. These people think that if they're tough enough, smart enough, and mean enough, all this will be there someday. There's no army of this earth that's going to stop those wagons coming, little as they're wanted.
Trying to do is get as many of us as I can, as far as I can.
I'd just like to have a drink tonight with someone who knows how to act.
You're not taking the full measure of this, Mary. I know the man I met was on his way to kill everyone in that house. He might as well have been walking up to get the mail for all that bothered him.
Breathe,
They will burn down.
Use that much this year?
Haven't had much need of it yet.
Looks like we got ourselves a bad man right here.
So Kevin Costner co-wrote and directed this film, and it's part of a maybe an ongoing saga. Let me just read some of the description. I even had to look up on Wikipedia because there's a long history of this film and its sequel that will be out in August. This film's coming out in June. But it says here, let me just read all this. This is a lot. Coming to theaters June 28th, Horizon, an American saga. Academy Award-winning visionary filmmaker Kevin Costner directs New Line Cinema's vast Horizon and American Saga, Chapters 1 and 2, a multifaceted chronicle covering the Civil War expansion and settlement of the American West. A story of America too big for one film, this true cinematic event also stars Costner, who co-writes with John Baird, who wrote The Explorers Guild, and produces through his Territory Pictures. In the great tradition of Warner Brothers Pictures' iconic westerns, Horizons and American Saga explores the lure of the Old West and how it was won and lost through the blood, sweat, and tears of many. Spending the 4 years of the Civil War from 1861 to 1865, Costner's ambitious cinematic adventure will take audiences on an emotional journey across a country at war with itself, experienced through the lens of families, friends, and foes, all attempting to discover what it truly means to be the United States of America. Costner stars alongside an impressive ensemble cast that includes Sienna Miller, Sam Worthington, Jenna Malone, Owen Crow, Shu, Tatanka Means, Ella Hunt, Tim Guiney, Danny Houston, Colin Cunningham, Scott Hayes, Tom Payne, Abby Lee, Michael Rooker, Will Patton, Georgia McPhail, Douglas Smith, Luke Wilson, Isabel Fuhrman, Jamie Campbell-Bauer, Alejandro Eda, Wase Winyan Chief, Michael Anganaro, Angus McFadden, John Beavers, Alex Nibley, Kathleen Quinlan, Atin Kelisi, Amos Jason, Charging Cloud, Bodhi Akuma Linton, Gregory Cruz, James Russo, Jeff Fahey, David O'Hara, Chris Connor, Leroy M. Salva, Bernardo Velasco, Tom Everett, Glenn Turman, Giovanna Ribisi, and more. Now, this is him returning to directing the first time since 2003 with his critically acclaimed hit Open Range. I never did see that. And revisit Civil War America, the setting for his 1990 blockbuster and directorial debut, Dances with Wolves, which won 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Director. He produces alongside Howard Kaplan and Mark Gillard with Danny Pakoff, Robert Skinnell, Armin Bernstein, Charlie Lyons, Barry Berg, and Rod Lake executive producing. There's a lot more, you know, there's behind the scenes stuff here listed on YouTube on the Warner Brothers Pictures. But this is interesting. It looks like we're going to hear the story of like the Native Americans and also the people, the pioneers coming across the West, and give everybody's point of view on conflict that happened there. The scale of what this looks like. And you heard the music. If that's the music for the movie, that is so good. And it's weighty. You know, you feel that music. So I tell you what, it pulled me right in and got me excited. Now, as I did see at one point when I was looking over Wikipedia, this has changed a bit. But at one point they were talking about, I guess, maybe 4 movies. But that seems to maybe has changed. And it looks like even Kevin Costner was first commissioning this as a single film back in 1988 and even approached Walt Disney Pictures on the project after the release of Open Range. But things didn't quite work out. And, you know, he's had some problems with, you know, COVID happening and the writer's strike. And so it's really delayed this. I mean, originally, I guess he wanted to put the first film out back in the fall here, 2023. But things have kind of gotten pushed around and we're finally getting it here this June, the first part. But in June of 2022 is where he said that there were plans to make 4 Horizon films in total. And he wanted to shoot them all back to back. And he finished filming the first one back in November 2022. And the second one was green lit and it was set to start filming in spring of 2023, which it has. I have not heard anything if there is still a third or fourth film on the way. It does say here that the production of the third film is being paused because of the 2023 Hollywood labor dispute. So now that those are over, does that mean he started a third one, or does he want to see how these first two do out in theaters over the summer? So, I mean, and if the first one completely tanks, I guess, you know, maybe they'll just release the second part into streaming. But I have a feeling this is going to do well because this just looks impressive. And people who are fans of this type of American history are going to flock to this. You know, if people enjoyed Dances with Wolves, which I only saw once, really. But, it's, you know, I shared it with Philip and he shared it with another friend of his that they're just big fans of the movie Tombstone, which I'm a fan of the movie Tombstone, but I couldn't quote it for you like they can. But this looks like it's going to fit right along there. So, yeah, I had not heard anything about this film until I watched that trailer and it just blew my mind. And I'm really looking forward to it. But hey, we have not taken the opportunity yet to speak about Dubby. Now, if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you will find a very large icon for Dubby. And if you go and click in there, they make an energy drink powder. You mix it in with water. They promise that you'll be able to game without getting the jitters. And they have many, many, many flavors. And you'll get a discount if you'll go through and click that link. Go to Dubby.gg. Use the discount code Neverland if you want to try to go manually. But it's easier just to go through my website and click through the links. So go and do that. And when you do that, it does help out the show. And let me know what you think of Dubby Drinks. And now, well, let's take a quick moment to play some ads for you. For those of you that are not part of the official Red Circle exclusive or part of Patreon, you're going to hear a couple of ads. And I'll be right back after these messages.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we had some celebrity death this week. Alan Robert Rogowski, also known as Ole Anderson, was an American professional wrestler. He just passed away February 26th. He was also a booker and worked as a promoter. Had a stint in the United States Army and then made his debut in Minnesota back in 1967 with AWA, American Wrestling Association, as Rock Rogowski. He also debuted later in the Carolinas-based Jim Crockett Promotions. He adopted the ring name Ole Anderson and began teaming with his quote-unquote brother Gene Anderson as the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. Now, eventually, what was important about that, I mean, he worked for a lot of different people through Jim Crockett and the Georgia Championship Wrestling. After Georgia Championship Wrestling was acquired by Vince McMahon in 1984 in what was known as Black Saturday, Anderson broke away to form his own promotion, Championship Wrestling from Georgia, which was acquired by Jim Crockett Promotions the following year. Now, one of the things that's a big deal, so he formed a new iteration of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew with Arn Anderson and co-founded the influential stable, the Four Horsemen, serving as booker for WCW and running the WCW Power Plant. He retired from the ring in 1990 and from the professional wrestling industry in the mid-1990s. Known amongst his contemporaries for his gruff, cantankerous demeanor and toughness, Anderson was a key figure in the history of professional wrestling in Georgia and the Carolinas. He held over 40 championships over the course of his career, including 8 reigns as National Wrestling Alliance, NWA, World Tag Team Champion. He got inducted in the WCW Hall of Fame in 1994 and the NWA Hall of Fame in 2010. Now, the big thing here, of course, you heard me mention the Four Horsemen. I mean, this, I wasn't watching at the time, but it's one of the things that you are going to be familiar with. You're going to have heard of this. I mean, it was them and Ric Flair and I think one of the Briscoes, you know, but I mean, the Four Horsemen is like the big thing. And there's a Four Horsemen plus one even there. But I mean, there was kind of a big deal at the time. They had Ric Flair, yeah, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard. There we go. Managed by J.J. Dylan. I couldn't remember all the names of it. So yes, it was a heel stable and they were kind of dominant at the time. And that's kind of like the big thing. And then they had a reunion back in 1989 and this, they had a Four Horsemen, which was Ric Flair, Arn and Sting with, of course, Ole Anderson. They quickly kicked Sting out of the group. And then Anderson briefly managed Mike Enos and Wayne Bloom in 1990 and formed a new version of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. So he started doing a lot of things backstage, and unfortunately, he passed away this week at the age of 81. Well, actually, I guess last week, because it was February 26th. So, I mean, there's a long storied history of him. I don't know that I've ever seen him wrestle any matches, but he has had signature moves, including a diving knee drop, a hammerlock, and an armbar. And he was nicknamed The Rock. And as you heard before, he called himself Rock Rogowski long before Dwayne Johnson was calling himself The Rock. All right, another one that's passed away, another wrestler. He was known as Virgil, also a real name, Michael Charles Jones. This was primarily where those of us who were watching WWF back in the 80s, he had 8 years as Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man's personal assistant and bodyguard, and overall, just anything that he had to do. He was almost like a paid slave. He didn't speak or anything, but he had some serious muscle on him. He actually entered bodybuilding competitions and actually met with Tony Atlas in a Pittsburgh gym. And Atlas is one that recommended Jones go to pro wrestling in 1985. In the same year, he began training with AFA in the wilds of the wild Samoans. I think maybe it's AFA. Jones started wrestling professionally as Soul Train Jones in Championship Wrestling Association based in Memphis, Tennessee, 1985. He feuded with Chick Donovan and Big Bubba. January 4th in 87, he defeated Big Bubba for the AWA International Heavyweight Championship. On April 20th, he was defeated by Donovan, ending his reign of 106 days. But when he went to WWF, that's when he became Ted DiBiase's bodyguard. Although he did make an appearance wrestling under the name Lucius Brown in 86. His first WWF match was losing to Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff in Salisbury, Maryland on September 17th, 1986. I have a feeling he probably came in as a jobber because they used to do that a lot in the 80s. So a jobber is somebody where you're just doing the job and you're going to come out, you're an unknown that's going to lose to somebody. But Ted DiBiase and Andre the Giant formed Megabucks, and Virgil was kind of part of that, although he never had to get in the ring. But you know, there was a big story that went on, and eventually Virgil was humiliated by Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, consistently. I mean, and eventually he turned on him, hitting him with his own Million Dollar title belt at the Royal Rumble in January 1991, making him a fan favorite. And after befriending and training with Roddy Piper, he defeated DiBiase by countout at WrestleMania 7 and pinned him for Ted DiBiase's unsanctioned Million Dollar Championship on August 26 of 1991 at SummerSlam. He lost the Million Dollar Championship belt back to DiBiase in November of 91 as a result of outside interference by the Repo Man. And at Survivor Series 91, Virgil was on Roddy Piper's team with Bret Hart and the British Bulldog, losing against Ric Flair, Ted DiBiase, the Warlord, and the Mountie. Virgil was disqualified with Hart and Piper after being counted out of the ring during a brawl with DiBiase and the Mountie at the end of the match, losing to Ric Flair, who was still in the ring. So, yeah, he had a long storied thing. I think it even went over to WCW for a while. Ted DiBiase has a podcast called Everybody's Got a Pod, and he had some things to share. And you know, like Virgil had kind of hit some hard times, and so Ted DiBiase kind of helped him come over to WCW. He retired, though, back in 2000, making some more appearances in 2006. He actually returned in 2010 to an episode of Raw in Toronto, Canada, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, to be specific. He returned to WWE, reprising as a Virgil bodyguard character, and this time with Ted DiBiase Jr., and carried out all of his old actions, such as holding the ropes open for Ted DiBiase and bringing him a microphone when asked. He passed away. Let's get some details. He apparently made some appearances at All Elite Wrestling and made a few appearances at conventions. But an early example here, there's a photo they call it the Lonely Virgil. He became kind of a meme, and a lot of people didn't go along to see him. He had revealed in 2022 that he had suffered from two strokes, but diagnosed with dementia. And a month later, he said he was diagnosed with stage 2 colon cancer, diagnosed with two additional strokes February 23rd of 2024, died 5 days later at Cannonsburg Hospital of complications from strokes and dementia. He was 72 years old. But he was a great entertainer at the time, you know, being as Virgil, and we really will miss him for his contribution. We thank him for his contribution. But now Richard Philip Lewis, American stand-up comedian, actor, and writer, was known mainly in the 80s for his kind of dark, neurotic, self-depreciating humor. He was known for the ABC sitcom Anything But Love in 89 and playing the role of Prince John in Robin Hood Men in Tights. And also was a fictionalized, semi-fictionalized version of himself in the HBO comedy series Curb You curb your enthusiasm, if I could say that right. Now, I think the main thing I'd only ever really seen him in was Robin Hood Men in Tights, and he was very funny as Prince John and very entertaining. Did a really great job. He was known for being a class clown and causing trouble in school, graduating, though, from Dwight Morrill High School in 1965 and then attending at Ohio State University. Got a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration in Marketing for 4 years later. Got a Fisher College of Business Alumni Achievement Award in November 2023. Yeah, he was very funny. I don't know that I ever saw any of his stand-up. Like I said, the main thing that I'm aware of was, or that I watched him, was Robin Hood Men in Tights. He met and married Joyce Lipinski in 1998 at a Ringo Starr album release party while Lipinski was working in music publishing. Pair got engaged in 2004 and married the following year. He was very open about his recovery from alcohol and drug abuse and was a user of both cocaine and crystal meth. His addictions worsening in the 1990s, prompting Lewis to stop performing stand-up from 91 to 94. He did discuss John Candy's death the year prior, that back in 95, that it caused him to reflect on upon his own life and career. He was with John Candy in the last film called Wagons East. Lewis stated that he got sober in 94 after winding up in a hospital emergency room due to a cocaine overdose. He published a memoir in 2000 called The Other Great Depression. He battled with anxiety and depression. Multiple therapy sessions were part of a fixture of his comedy. Has actually a eating disorder from body dysmorphia. There's Philip calling. Well, he passed away of a heart attack in his home in Los Angeles, February 27th, 2024, age of 76. They've been statements even from Larry David and Cheryl Hines and paying homage to him. But that's actually going to wrap up the show. Philip calling it a little bit too late to get in here on this. I want to remind you, of course, to go to neverlandpodcast.com, and you'll even find links for Podgagement. If you happen to have a podcast and you'd like to have your reviews sent to your inbox, your email, as a fantastic service for a pretty inexpensive fee, and a lot of new features on there that Daniel J. Lewis has been adding. It's a very great service. Also at neverlandpodcast.com, don't forget, you can become an official Lost Boy or Pixie. We have Pixies because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. We want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Poe for Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show. Remember, you can email us, podcast at neverlandpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter, NeverlandPcast, on Facebook at Neverland Podcast. We also have a Facebook group. And of course, remember to join us on patreon.com/neverlandpodcast. I have links for that, of course, on the website. And if you're listening through Red Circle, there should be a link right there in the show notes if you want to become an exclusive member of Red Circle to get episodes without the ad in there. So otherwise you're going to hear the ads because I have to pay for this show somehow. So if you'd like to help me out, I would certainly appreciate it. But I'm going to wrap this up right now by telling you, get lost in an adventure. And I will see you at Planet Comic-Con.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.